This is Creeps Anonymous.
That's someone you're dating? Her father gestured his chin towards Sebi's receding back. I just got out of a hospital. I'm not dating anyone. She shook her head, already irritated with this interaction, 3 seconds in. He looped his arm around her shoulder to her annoyance and gave her a clinical once-over. You still look all right to me, kid. So nice of you to say thanks. She batted him away, fighting the urge to stop being mad at him. He was good at weaseling his way out of accountability. What's the matter with you? He ruffled her windblown, tangled hair. You're 22, not 14. You're supposed to be over this whole embarrassed by your father thing already. And you're supposed to be over your midlife crisis by 40. You're about a decade too late. She gave him a soft elbow to the rib and enjoyed hearing the breath leave him a tiny bit. Oof, he said, putting up his hands in surrender. So it's like that, huh? Gray, unshaven stubble had grown in along his jaw and looked odd against his almost radioactive tan. He was somehow made smaller by distance and time, and she didn't quite know what to make of that. What are you doing in my job? Olivia asked. You still work here? He said, gesturing at the supermarket. You're better than this, antagonistic to the very end. She ran a calming hand over her frazzled hair to settle herself back down. Did you come to dunk on retail labor, or was there a point to all of this? I'm not saying it's a bad job. I'm just saying it's a job you've hated for years, and you haven't done anything about it. I know that much about you, he shrugged. She pressed her lips together, mostly because she didn't have a good retort. He was right. She did hate it here, but part of that hate had become comfortable after a while. You knew where the punches were coming from most of the time with an old bad job. Jumping into a new one meant looking dumb, possibly hating your new coworkers, learning to despise an entirely new field of work. He wasn't wrong in pointing that out, but she didn't appreciate him for doing it. Look, he said, clapping a hand on her shoulder. I was thinking, over by your grandparents, there's a few great colleges with business management degrees. If you want, you can come out, take a look at some of them. Maybe think of staying with grandma and grandpa in the summers and dorm during the semesters. You're funny, Olivia said, taking a step back. Just when I think you're coming to actually fix your relationship with me, you blow in and offer me a bunch of bullshit, despite Mom. What do you want me to do, Olivia? He said, growing irritated. Are you capable of moving out on your own right now? Renting a place? I'm supposed to let you keep living here with your mother, knowing the state she's in, how that affects you? Don't, Olivia said, through grit teeth. Don't fucking do that. Don't use my mental health as some bargaining chip to win your divorce. Olivia, she wanted to stay married. She wouldn't even tell me where my child was staying. If I was in a safe place, what am I supposed to do? Call your child, Olivia said, fuming. You talk it out with me. You make sure we're okay before you blast off and start a new life. You know what? Keep Thanksgiving. I'm sure Tina's turkey is fucking dry anyway. She shouldered past him and walked to her car. Tina doesn't cook, Tony shouted after her, as if somehow that would change the situation for the better. Oh, of course not, Olivia grumbled. When she got in, she looked out the window and saw him standing there, regarding her like a lost child in an amusement park. She looked back, but could not bring her face to do anything but sit in a passive wall of anger. He stared at her for a few more moments and then turned and left. His stooped back made her heart begin to hurt. He was this old and this willful, even now, and she wasn't sure she'd ever have a functioning relationship with him. That terrified her. On the drive home from work, her face felt like stone. She sat in the car outside for a while, skipping through songs on her phone. It felt like any more interactions with people at this point, she was going to break the world somehow. At 22, she figured more things would make sense by now. But every new corner led into another dizzying labyrinth of problems. She dreamt of her parents separating for years, just simply parting ways, working out the holidays as an afterthought. Now that she was trying to work out her first holiday with them apart, she realized the relief was short-lived. Her mom's state of mind was fucked. Her dad was blowing in the wind, still calling himself a victim. She was in the middle playing referee yet again. She felt her body get hot with shame as she replayed bits of the argument over again in her head. No, she couldn't move out yet, at 22. Maybe that was late. Maybe she was just fucking around. But she was no closer to scaling her mountain. Her mom and her dad were already married at 22. They'd already had her, of course, but 2 years later, her grandpa had strong-armed her dad into marrying her mom. To make it official, her family always said, though it was hard to imagine how you made a mistake official. It was even harder to picture what they were like, beyond the photos of her mom in leotards, pointed boots, buried in teased curls, or her dad in his comically large Harley jacket, now older than she was. Her mom was an effortless kind of beautiful back then. Her dad was a bit of a rambling man. Some things just hadn't changed. She slumped back to the driver's seat, sighing. It undermined her sense of reality, even now, when they put her into the middle of these arguments, and it hurt to know that it was entirely possible her mother had, in fact, withheld information about the two of them under some bizarre condition. It wasn't the craziest of the things she'd done. It didn't change any of his flubs. The house, Tina, disappearing while she was intubated. It just made her trust everyone less overall. She'd be lying, too, if she said that that was a good feeling. She thought back to Jess and how she'd floundered earlier this morning and felt her stomach drop. If she was being honest, there weren't that many people that felt okay to talk to. Not about the difficult stuff, not about the good stuff. When she wasn't fighting for every inch of her boundaries with one person, she was shoving the people who actually cared right off a cliff. Brushing her thumb over her phone, she watched a screen come to life. She paused her music and opened up her apps, cycling through her feeds like an old pony taking the same worn laps in its enclosure. She tried to lose track of time, peering voyeuristically into other people's lives, but it got old quick. Friends from high school being proposed to, people entering grad school, trips to places she'd be hard-pressed to find on a map. Swipe up to a clean phone desktop, shiny applications waiting to be opened. Except she'd checked everything already. Olivia clicked her tongue, staring listlessly into the phone like it would tell her what to do next. Something in the back of her brain itched. She opened up a fresh text message, remembering an old game she used to play with Max when either of them were feeling stuck. Okay, so if you could play one song at your funeral, what would it be? She pressed send and tossed her phone into the empty passenger seat, snorting. Max had always picked Sweet Child of Mine because it had, as he put it, one of the most transcendental guitar solos known to rock music. Olivia had, of course, had always vehemently disagreed since that spot belonged to Eric Clapton and Layla, obviously. But, as fate had it, they were both wrong. They didn't play any music at Max's funeral. She didn't think he would have liked how stuffy the whole thing was, but funerals were really just rites for the living survivors anyway. And the dead, she suspected, had few burning complaints. She was almost settling into a familiar kind of hurt when her phone buzzed in the passenger seat. Grabbing it, she checked the screen and jumped when she saw a response. Max. This isn't the start to some horror movie, is it? She laughed. Very funny. Max. But I think I'd have to say This Must Be the Place by the Talking Heads. Olivia tucked her chin into her chest when she read the message, roiling with respect for the answer. It was a hell of a good one. That's a pretty great pick. Why that one? Max. It's a song about being young and clueless. When we reach the end of our lives, we come full circle. I think that's a nice thought. All becomes new all over again. She paused. That's not a bad reason, she wrote. Did I find you or did you find me? Max. What about you? What song would you pick? Can't You Hear Me Knocking by the Stones? Naturally. Max. Beautiful choice. Olivia was surprised to catch the warm feeling of pleasure thrum through her. It felt like a small patch of sunlight after an endlessly gray day. She pulled in her unbidden smile, suddenly afraid someone would see it as she stared at her phone. Max. What are you up to? Not a whole lot, she responded, feeling like she was cracking some code. She was under the impression that the new owner of Max's old number had said his piece, and that she wouldn't hear back after their last call. She wouldn't have even blamed him, after how crazy she had likely came off. Yet, here he was, talking classic rock. She wondered if that made him the bad kind of crazy, or if he was just another stranger, like a kindred mote of dust, floating along the current just like she was. Maybe he was lonely too. I'm thinking it's time for a dark room in an old comfort movie. It's been an insane day. Max. Okay, favorite comfort movie, go. Olivia laughed out loud, suddenly spooking herself with the level of volume alone in her car. This was fun. Her fingers began flying across the phone screen. I mean, that's like asking my favorite kid. Max. Cop out, come on, there has to be one that gets more play. Okay, when you put it that way, I guess probably The Brave Little Toaster? Max. Oh, I see you were also depressed as a kid. My condolences. Oof, that was maybe too accurate. Max. Yeah, my bad. I say this from personal experience. My go-to is Fox and the Hound, so... Olivia leaned into the warm glow of her screen like it would somehow bring her closer to the stranger in her inbox. Are we okay? She typed, trying to keep from smiling madly. Max. Probably not. I think that's okay, though. A knock on her window made her scream, her phone slipping out of her grip and into the cursed space between the seat and the console. Shit! She cursed, pulling down her window. Sammy gave her an apologetic look, hugging herself in the cold outside. Sorry, I just wanted to make sure you were okay. You've been sitting out here for a while. Olivia blinked, remembering that Sammy had recommended that she block Max's old number, and decided to pivot away from the truth. Yeah, sorry about that. I came home from work and got sucked into scrolling when I parked. Sammy nodded, hopping from foot to foot on the cold pavement. Okay, no rush. We saved some leftovers for you. Bottom shelf. For me? Olivia said, climbing out of the car. You shouldn't have. She fished her phone out of the bottom of her car and pulled up a new reply. Gotta grab dinner. I'll talk to you later. There was a breathless moment when she sat staring at her message. It felt like a reach. Three ellipses appeared below her message for a moment, then... Sure. Hey guys, it's Gabby, creator of Creeps Anonymous. If you like the work that we do at the podcast, remember to rate, comment wherever possible, and share with your friends and loved ones that you think might like the show. If you're feeling extra generous or you want to listen to the episodes 2 days early, make sure to head on over to patreon.com/yayyankee to help support the show. As always, thank you for being here and thank you for listening. Till next time.